Welcome to the Hey Boomer Podcast, the Facebook Live show that inspires boomers to recognize their own strengths and relevance through thought-provoking conversations with extraordinary guests. My name is Wendy Green, and I am your host of Hey Boomer.
We are live. Okay, well, hello, Hey Boomer listeners. I want to take a moment to acknowledge the grief that I felt and that I expect most of you felt this weekend when we learned about the passing of Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Her work, her bravery, and her commitment to the opportunities that she fought for particularly for women, have really changed the landscape for us, for our daughters, and for our granddaughters. She may now rest in peace, and we will continue to carry on her work in whatever way that we possibly can. And talk about branding. Although she did not coin the phrase, the notorious RBG, she certainly embraced it. And she was a great example of how brand matters in the boomer stage and beyond. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about personal branding. And it's not necessarily some catchy slogan, but it's how you present yourself to the world, what you're good at, what you want to be known for, and it authentically reflects those thoughts and those feelings. So my guest today is Kathy McAfee, and her brand is the America's Marketing Motivator. Kathy is an executive presentation coach, a professional speaker, author of several books, and she is a boomer herself. Kathy specializes in the arts of high engagement presentations, effective networking, and authentic personal branding. But before I bring Kathy on, I would like to just remind you that with Hey Boomer, we are building a community. And we are a community of like-minded people who are engaged in life. And I am privileged to bring you these amazing guests every week, guests who inform us, who inspire us, who entertain us. And as part of the community, I want you to be involved in the conversation too. So I want you to enter your questions, your thoughts, your comments, words of encouragement, and I will share them with Kathy. You other people on the call will see them. So please be a part of the Hey Boomer community. I also wanted to remind you that on October 8th, we're kicking off a three-week community gathering. And the reason for the community gathering is because since March, we've all been in some sort of semi-isolation, however we've defined it for ourselves. And on top of the pandemic, we've now also had to hear the noise from the upcoming election, the noise from all the social unrest, and everybody's anxiety, especially according to research that I've seen, the anxiety levels are increasing. So I thought if we could get together as a community and learn and share and inspire each other, we could work towards decreasing some of our anxieties and increasing our sense of happiness and well-being. So I hope you'll join us. Just send me an email at heyboomer0413@gmail.com if you're interested in finding out more information. So with that, I want to bring Kathy on. Hi, Kathy.
Hey, Wendy. Hey, boomers. How you doing?
It's so good to have you today.
Great to be here on this beautiful fall day.
I know. It really is a beautiful fall day here. And before we get started with the questions, Kathy, I wanted to tell the audience about the prizes that we're offering. I know. And this is the first time we've ever done this. So I'm so excited about this. So there's three prizes that we are offering today. The first is an autographed copy of Defining You. This is the book that we're going to be talking about today. Kathy has written several books. This is the one we're going to be talking about today. And the second and the third prizes that we're offering today are a 30-minute complimentary session with Kathy and a 30-minute complimentary session with me. So I'm going to give you all the details about how to qualify for those prizes at the end of this call. So be sure you stay tuned for that. Awesome. I know, it's exciting. So to kick it off, Kathy, was there anything I left out in your introduction that we need to cover before we go on?
I think you did an awesome job. And the details are always in the conversation.
Yes, and you are such an awesome person. So let's start with what it means to do a personal brand. So I've did a lot of work in this book, and it wasn't always easy, as it's not intended to be easy, but it's intended to be like a real self-reflective thing. But before we get into the weeds of how that's done, can you give people an idea of why having a personal brand is so important?
We live in a branded world, Wendy. We make decisions based on brands, our relationship with that brand, our understanding of that brand, our trust in that brand. We go to work for companies, we support companies based on their brand, their ideals. So it's just become the norm. But what the really exciting part is that rather than just objects, products, services, companies, non-human entities, people can brand themselves. And we actually have always been branded. I think when you're born and you're given a name, that's part of your brand, right? And your reputation is part of your brand. So people know you in a certain way, and that's how they think of you. Mm-hmm. Now, the key to effective personal branding is to take charge of it and not just let somebody else decide how you want to be known, but to actually claim that, decide that, live up to it. So that's the opportunity.
I love that. And, I understand like when we're working, it's really important to put ourselves out there the way we want to be known, to find the job we want to find. But now a lot of people in this generation are slowing down or maybe not working as much, maybe some. Mm-hmm. So how does that personal brand change at that point?
It's a great question. And it reminds me that no matter what life stage you're in or circumstance, you are more than that. So I want to talk to the boomers about the idea of being in retirement, similar to when someone hasn't launched their career on the other end of the spectrum. They're in college, they're in high school. And so then they don on the title of student. And then they think that that's their brand, but really it's just a temporary status. They are more than their circumstance. Or for example, if someone is laid off, fired, downsized, a lot of millions of people have had that during this COVID/recession period. Does that mean their brand is gone? Does that mean they are nothing because they are not employed? Absolutely not. It is a temporary condition. So your title, your life stage, your current circumstance, those do not define you. And so personal branding gives you opportunity to think more deeply, more richly about who you are, what you do, how you help others, regardless of your current situation.
I think that's super important because especially when, if people have been laid off, a lot of times the thought process goes to, oh man, what am I going to do now? Who's going to want me? All that negative stuff.
Right. It's heavy. It's heavy. Now, I remember a time in my life, a real sticky memory of my husband who would see me off to work every day. I was the lead person financially in our house for many years. So I would drive off and I'd be all stressed out going to my job. And I was vice president of marketing. I was somebody important. He would wave me off and he would say, "Remember, it's what you do. It's not who you are."
I love
that. I would just go and come and still be so in my title, in my role, in my status until the day I got let go. And then I'm like, I'm not vice president of marketing. Therefore, I am nothing. So that was that moment, that unemployment moment where you go, is this all there is? Until I was able to really redefine and re-understand who I was and how I wanted to contribute to the world. So when I meet boomers who say, "I'm retired." So what do you do? "I'm retired." Period. End of sentence. Circle the period. Stop. It's a conversation killer.
It is. Yeah.
And I often say to myself and to others, you know, when is that it? Is that the end? And I remind myself, you're not dead yet. You still have that next stage, that next opportunity. You could give back to the community. You could start a Hey Boomer community. You could learn about podcasting. I think as long as you're alive, Wendy, and as long as you're learning, you know, you are a vibrant person. And I would also add, as long as you're giving, contributing, helping others. And I think that's what Ruth Bader Ginsburg made her so fabulous. You know, she never retired. She was always in the fight. She was always championing a mission. Despite four rounds of cancer and everything else she had going on, that you could not stop that woman. And so she developed this persona of being notorious and revered. And, you know, at the end of the day, she was a lovely, you know, little old lady. Yeah, she wasn't retired. She was vital. She was contributing. And I think that should be an inspiration for all of us to be just a fraction of what RBG was, is, and will always be.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm curious, the people that are on the call, if they have given any thought, you know, if they could share their thoughts with us about what their brand might be, how they see themselves as we continue this conversation. I think that would be fun to see.
Super. And I see that we have Elizabeth Lyons on the call, and Elizabeth is the person responsible for connecting the two of us. And
she
so is. I would actually add to Elizabeth, she is a connector.
Elizabeth is a super connector.
Yeah, master connector. And she's also a Rotarian. I know her that way. And she's always giving and leading and contributing, you know, service above self.
Yeah.
And she just retired from a job that she had for many years, but she's still going and growing. So I love to see Elizabeth as she evolves her brand.
Absolutely. So one of the things, you know, I've heard you on a couple of your interviews. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you talk about is getting external feedback mm-hmm. for your brand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of what we hear in current psychology and whatever is, you know, it's all about how you see yourself. It's all about how you see yourself. So tell me why this external branding or external information is so important.
Because that is your current default brand. So how people see you, that external feedback, you need to know that so that you know how much work you need to do or how aligned it is with how you see yourself. So if you only branded based on how you feel about yourself, we would have a bunch of arrogant, crazy people running the world. Oh, I'm sorry. We already do. But anyway, you know, I don't want anyone like that. So you need the balance of how do I know myself? How do I think about myself? What do I believe in? What do I care about? And then how would others describe me if they were introducing me to Wendy Green? You know, how would they describe? So you need to know how people view you. It may not be aligned with how you see yourself. So maybe there's some reconciliation that has to happen, but it's a good check. Now, the beautiful thing about personal branding is, I think this is the good news, boomers, you get to decide. After you do that external feedback, after you think and reflect, you get to decide how you are known to the world, which means you have to craft it and manage it. And here's the tough part, live up to it.
Exactly.
So if you think you're a humanitarian or a philanthropist or a global difference maker or a mentor, great, go for it. But your actions, your involvements, your association, you have to live up to that brand. And so that's the work that you need to do. But every time you do, you are reinforcing how you want to be known in the world, whether it's professionally, personally, holistically. And then eventually over time, when people say, well, tell me about Wendy Green, the way they describe it is going to be much more closely aligned to how you see yourself because you've been reinforcing it, working it through your actions and your outreach and the community that you're building.
And, you know, when you say you have to live up to it, I mean, that is so key because as I was working through this book and coming up with some of the ideas, it does kind of increase your confidence to say, oh, yeah, I am the host of Hey Boomer. I am, you know, doing this Turn Your Retirement Upside Down workshop. And you start to see yourself, really see yourself in those terms. Mm-hmm. And I think it gives people a lot of confidence that may not have been there when they didn't really think about it.
And also what you just said, you shared with us here is that you didn't give us your whole life story and everything you've done in the past. You're actually starting from this moment and the future intention. So again, similar when I coach students, don't tell me everything you did in high school, like project how you're going to be, how you see yourself professionally in their case. And obviously don't lie, don't lead falsely. But if you intend to be a STEMinist or you intend to build the next greatest aircraft, I mean, I want to know about that. I want to hear about the passion and the interest and how they're working towards that, because I might see a future engineer and I might want that early stage engineer on my team, or I might want to connect them. So same thing if as a boomer, you know, again, part of your past, your history, your wonderful banking career success, that will always be inside. You'll have that knowledge and that wisdom, and you can share that in mentoring. But you're not doing that now. So what is it that you're passionate and alive about? And maybe it's, for example, maybe it's financial literacy. Maybe it's helping people get out of poverty by reducing debt. And you happen to know a lot about that. So you can take what you mastered in the past and put it to work through a current mission to help people. And then you evolve in that way while still leveraging all the cool stuff you've done in the past. Mm-hmm. So those are opportunities to really think about in your exercise. You know, what do you care about? How do you intend to help people? So there's two questions in the book that you have to find an answer to, and they can be showstoppers. And you hear them all the time. They drive you crazy. The first one is, what do you do for a living?
That one, and right, and you meet people, right? And if they've thought about it, they give you this kind of rehearsed, memorized thing that does not sound authentic at all.
And if you've truly retired and you no longer are working, and so now you can't answer, I'm not doing anything for a living.
For a living, right?
Well, actually, you are alive, so you're doing something for a living, right?
Right.
But that whole income earning thing, or if you're unemployed and someone says, "What do you do for a living?" That can be devastating because it's like, "Well, nothing. I have no worth now."
Right.
So we need to answer that question, come up with a way of a common question. What do you do for a living? And then the other one is even more daunting, which is, tell me about yourself. And either it's a showstopper, my jaw drops, I don't know where to start, or worse, I was born in California. when they had the orchard, yeah, I give you my whole life story. Right.
You're like, how much time do you have?
Yeah. 2 hours later, okay, I'm bored. I'm done.
I know.
So we want to come up with strategic ways. This is a personal branding insight. Come up with a short and maybe a medium length answer to those two questions. And that's where this book has some cool framework. The first one is called Defining Statement. Literally the short sentence that answers, what do you do for a living? And we might have set it out today with you, Wendy. And then the medium length answer in the book is called the defining paragraph, i.e. a few sentences, you know, 30 to 45 seconds, where I can get a little more into detail to tell you a little bit more about myself, but I still want that to prompt you to ask me some questions and make it an engaging back and forth conversation.
Right.
So beware, boomers. Don't give people your whole life story on the first conversation. They will never come back again.
Right. And it's a work in progress. So like I sent you this statement that I said, this is my defining statement, Kathy. I said, I work with, when someone says, what do you do? I work with baby boomers who want to feel purposeful and engaged with life, and with boomers who want to have the confidence to reimagine the next chapter of their life.
And I thought that was great. It gave me a sense of mission of who you work with. But it was a little bit long, right? And then we had more conversation. So we're getting ready for the show. This is the back part of it. And we thought, how can we make that shorter? And so the defining statement has really two parts. Who do you work with? Ready? And what do they want? As opposed to all the things you do to help them.
Right.
So we have to put ourselves in the shoes of our main constituent, customer, however you want to look at that, but the person we're trying to help. So then you shortened it to say,
I work with boomers who want to turn their retirement upside down.
Okay. So people on the call, what does that mean to you? And what's your next question to Wendy? If you were having a coffee with her, what would you say to Wendy? I know what I have to say. Like, what do you mean turn retirement upside down? What do you mean by that?
Right. And that's where then I haven't mastered this part yet, but that's where I say, you know, well, I have this workshop that helps people that feel unfocused, that feel like they're stuck. They don't know what to do in this next stage of their lives. They haven't really given it much thought or spent much time with it. Mm-hmm. And so I work them through this process to where they feel excited and engaged and involved with their lives.
Okay, so now we're in conversation. I'm learning more about how she does it, one of her signature programs. And I might either know someone or I might want to just, you know, find out more if it's right for me. And again, she's not hard selling me, but she being Wendy right here, Wendy, you want to help people be vibrant through this, you know, next stage of their life. And you know, it's just like the old Oldsmobile commercial. Like, this is not your father's Oldsmobile. This is not your father's retirement. This is a new way. We're living longer. We're hopefully living healthier, more active lives. We can give back. We can contribute. You know, we're not dead yet. So you're going to turn it upside down. And I'm excited about that because I'm even afraid to say the word retire. I'm like, I feel like it's a, you know, it's like the end of me.
I know. It's
back
checking out.
I can change the rules during this next phase of my life. I'm excited about that.
So the other question is, what do you mean by that? Rob came back and said, why do I need to turn retirement upside down? Another good question.
Yeah, that is a good question. Because I might like it right side up. So then I might want to know, well, gee, Rob, what are you doing? You know, how have you been navigating this course of your life? How would you describe it? Where are you putting your energy? And so I get a chance to learn about Rob and his passions and his brand and how he wants to be known. And we're either going to find things in common or different. And that's the fun of networking and getting to know each other. But we as boomers, we got to be ready for that conversation. And we got to find a way to share a bit of ourselves, to engage people, and to learn from people and have them learn from us.
Yeah.
So that's part of one of the benefits and applications of studying this work and just thinking more deeply about it versus, you know, I spent my whole career in banking and now I'm retired. Great. Where do we go from there?
Right. Nice talking to you. I'll see you at the next event. Yeah. So we've had some really good comments. One question that came in is about the external feedback we were talking about. And, you know, I ask people to do that too in my turning your retirement upside down. And at first they're very nervous about it, you know, like, oh, I hate to ask people to tell me how they see me. And I'm uncomfortable with that. But when they do it, they seem to get such happy surprises from the feedback they get from people. But the question that came in is, how do you get honest outside feedback?
I think you ask for, and you literally add the word honest, an unvarnished, honest assessment. I mean, how would you describe me to somebody else if I weren't in the room? And what do you think my strengths are, my weaknesses? You know, what do you think my personal mission is? You can come up with some questions, but you do want the honest, unvarnished truth. And I would also say you have to ask people who you trust, who know you. Don't go asking strangers that question. We don't just want to get, yes, you're the greatest person since sliced bread. You know, we don't want all the yes people, the adoring people. We want some balance. There's a great exercise in the book, Vocal Leadership by Arthur Samuel Joseph, one of my personal mentors and coaches and friends. And he calls it your persona statement. And it has four parts. And so it's a beautiful book. He's a very spiritual person. And so there's a lot of depth to his work. But the first is to just understand how you think you're presently perceived. And he says, think about all the different parts of your life, my family, my relationship with my neighbors, my Rotarian relationships, my relationships at my place of worship, my extended family. So there, people are going to have different views because you almost show up differently in different places.
Right.
And so you write words, and some of them are going to be flattering, and some of them are going to be like, ooh, that person, I know there's kind of a rocky relationship. I don't maybe, you know, see if you're honest with yourself, and then you decide how you do want to be perceived. And so if pushy and mean-spirited and selfish and greedy, you know, if those come up in your honest own assessment, because you know they're there, it's part of our shadow, our dark side, it exists, you have to say, is that how I want to be known? And maybe you do. I doubt it. So then you say, okay, I don't want to be. And this happened to me about 20 years ago when I, in a career situation, and I ended up earning a reputation of being, and I was called by my boss, mean spirited.
Oh.
And he actually said 5% of the time you are mean spirited. The rest of the time you're like a super person to work with, but that 5% poisons everything. And my first thought was, dude, don't you know about a menstrual cycle? I mean, that just happened. Sorry about that. I couldn't help but go there. The sassy part of my brand. But that was important feedback. And I decided, I don't want to have mean spirited on my brand, but apparently it's there. It's like a little, you know, it's a little rest spot. So if I don't want to be mean spirited, what do I need to do differently? How do I want my spirit to be? So over the course of 20 years, I've started to see, I understand where some of that mean-spirited comes from. It's part of me, right? So I embrace it. But I strive and I work really hard to come to the community with a full heart, open-mindedness, kindness. I got to practice that. Kindness, right? We got to practice it. And especially during stressful times like now. So that feedback, that unvarnished, you know, hard to hear feedback, it's really for your betterment.
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you ask people that you trust, like you said, you know, and you ask them, so tell me how you perceive me. And you don't have to say in work or at home or in life or, you know, just ask them how they perceive you. And if they are people you trust and they care about you, they're going to tell you your good things.
Right.
Some of the things that you might improve on and some things that might surprise you that you don't really see in yourself, but that other people see. So it's kind of like your hidden side.
Right. Some good stuff because you have an unconscious confidence. You do it so often. It's so natural. You assume everyone else does, but it's one of your gifts. Now, one place I would suggest for the hey boomer that asked that question, where do you not go to get that external feedback? You don't go to social media.
No, don't do that.
That's like a hate place, right?
Yeah, don't do that.
So you want to be conscious of self, but if you're going to like put your whole being out there for a total stranger who doesn't know you, who's just going to love to rip you to pieces, that won't do you any good. So I would handpick the people you're going to talk to, create that safe space, and really listen and maybe ask some clarifying. So give me an example of that. What makes you say that? How do you think I could fix that? Where do you think that comes from? You could really interview them and start to get some more self-awareness. Mm-hmm. And you don't need to do too many of them, I would say, no. A big research survey or anything, but it's just right. Get a little external feedback. Spend some time really reflecting yourself, how you think you're presently known, and then how you want to be known, and then start to build that from there.
So, Kathy, we've been talking a lot about people that are in retirement and how they can start defining themselves. And, you know, we're getting some people that go, oh my gosh, there's so many things. I don't know what to do, how to narrow it down. But we also just had a question about, well, I want a second act, right? I don't want to retire. I want a second act. How do I brand and market myself for that?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, first you have to join Wendy's How to Turn Retirement Upside Down. Second act. You do need some help, you know, figuring it out all by yourself. Like, do I want to start a business? I was coaching a woman and she wanted a second act and she didn't know if she should go get a job, if she should do this, do that. And where her passion was in starting her own business. And this was kind of interesting for me. She was very interested in astrology. So She was doing it as a hobby. And so, okay, you want to start a business as a professional astrologist and you want to make money doing that and you want to have integrity. So now she, whether it's astrology or not, she is building a business. And that takes a lot of work. So you got to go to school on that. What does it take? What's required? What are the risks? How much investment do I need? You know, do I want to do it just to my friends and family? Do I really want to build a brand and a business? And what's that look like? So, you know, be open to that and to that exploration before you decide. But the one thing I will say, if you have too many options, you're just going to be spinning your plates, and it's a really painful place to be, I find. There's so many things I could do.
Right.
So I'll do nothing. Okay, great. All right. Back to the nap. I'm going golfing. That's great.
Right.
But if there's something that I think aligns with your personal mission, your passion, when you talk about it, you get excited, you come to life, that is telling you something. You need to explore this. So spend some time, read, go to the library, the online library, interview some people, talk to people who are doing that as their second act or their first act. Find a way. And remember, there are lots of ways to contribute. If you're in the good position where you don't have to bring in income, then maybe you fulfill that need by giving those services away free. You know, maybe you don't have to charge. Maybe you already have a strong sense of you can handpick your people, you know, so you have control over that. But if something is telling you this is important to me, you have to listen to that.
Yeah. And I think you bring up an interesting point, because even if you are in a position where you may not need to bring in income, sometimes we value ourselves or value what we do by how much we're getting paid for it. Right. And so I think that's another question you have to ask yourself, you know, what I'm doing, what I'm offering,
right,
will I feel good about it,
right,
even if I'm not getting paid for it?
Yeah. And you know, it did. I used to have I still have a philosophy called exchange of value. So it's kind of it's a strategy for compromising. You know, I want this fee, you have that much budget. So how can we exchange value non-monetarily so that I feel whole, you feel whole, we maintain the value in this thing you want and this service I'm going to provide. Sometimes I have also asked, as part of that exchange of value, that if you can't give me money for whatever reason, that you make a donation to a charity that I care about in my
idea,
right? Or you'll pay me and I'll donate it. So we don't put money in each other's pockets, but we're helping somebody else, a charitable cause.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Another thing I did recently, Wendy, to help me feel whole about that is I recently gave away two scholarships to my Fearless Leader program.
I was just going to ask you about that program.
Yeah, this is this is my new pivot for the pandemic. We can't be together. Let's find a way to do training development, leadership development virtually. So I have 12 fearless leaders currently, and it's been an amazing program. We're in our eighth week. We're graduating this week. So it has brought me to life. It's my best work yet. So I'm very excited about that. But I wanted to have an opportunity to really lift up what I call the hidden leaders. A lot of times people in organizations are overlooked. They're working really hard. They're contributing. They just don't have access. They don't have visibility. And many of those are minorities and women, right? They're not in the club, so they just keep plugging along, but they don't get the opportunities. So I purposely sought those people out, and I created two scholarships. And I partnered with some organizations who have conduits to that population. And through the scholarship application process, I got to pick the person I felt would be best aligned. I got to meet them, and I was open to anyone who applied, but they had to go through some steps to show me they were serious, they were ready, they were going to do the work. And even though they came into the program and, you know, they didn't pay anything, I felt empowered through the process of giving away a scholarship. There is just something, I couldn't even have predicted it. So there is an opportunity for something like that, that you can choose where you want to put your energy and time, even if there's no exchange of value. So there's different ways of making yourself feel valued. And to me, surprisingly, that was one of them. And I did want to mention to the Hey Boomer community. So I'm starting the next cohort of the Fearless Leader. It starts end of October, and I intend to give away two scholarships again.
Mm-hmm.
If there are Hey Boomers who are financially secure and are doing great and want to give back and help someone else, one of these hidden leaders, you are welcome to underwrite that scholarship, and I'll work with you to pick the person so that we can bring more people into this learning and development opportunity.
So if people want more information about the Fearless Leader, and how they would apply for that, how would they find you?
I have a redirect website. So if you go to fearlessleader.me.me.
Oops. Okay. I thought.
Well, no, you can go here. Okay. You can go to americasmarketingmotivator.com. I'm just going to show you where. Go to the services tab. The first one down is Fearless Leader. You can read all about it. There's a brochure, and then there's a apply now. And you know, I am open to any person who's got fearless leader qualities, no matter what their age or current circumstance. So if that's something that you think, and you know what, learning is something about learning. Again, as long as you're learning, you're alive, you're growing, you're changing, this would be an amazing experience. And maybe you end up through this 8-week program deciding what you want to do in your next act.
Exactly. Right. And so you can also email Kathy at Kathy@americasmarketingmotivator.com. So Kathy, your passion just absolutely shines through when you talk. I love talking to you. So you are known as America's Marketing Motivator, but you're so much more than that. So when someone says, well, so what does that mean? What else do you do? How do you answer that?
Well, there's one thing, the America's Marketing Motivator is somewhat of a misnomer. People think I'm in the marketing business, so I'm going to do their marketing. They can hire me as a marketing agency, and that's actually not it. That's not it at all. So I'm a professional butt kicker. That's how I earned.
That's your real brand, huh?
Yeah, my first client, she gave me feedback. I said, you know, what value have I created for you? How was our first engagement? She said, you're my butt kicking consultant. And then she told me how important that was. And I coined it marketing motivator. Later, I gave myself a promotion to America's Marketing Motivator to distinguish myself from the Canadian Marketing Motivator. We split the North America, you know?
There you go.
But you're right, I am more than that. And so I've come to know, so what I do is I work with organizations who want to develop stronger, more diverse leadership pipelines. And I work with individuals who want to be the best in their field and want to contribute and realize their full potential. So I work with organizations who hire me to do training, coaching, speaking, leadership development. And I also work with the individual. So that literally is my defining statement. And it's taken me years to get there. But now that I have it, who do I work with? And what do those people want? It's so clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go to my LinkedIn page, you'll see a modified version of my defining paragraph, the medium length. It's probably, I'm a writer, so it's always longer than it should be. So it tells you a little bit more about my areas of expertise, the outcome of my work, an example of my work, my contact details. You'll see how I express my brand through my digital presence. And so this book has helped me do that.
Yes. And I have updated my LinkedIn profile since going through this book. Yes. And, you know, I think they should look at both of our profiles on LinkedIn because it does very clearly say with enthusiasm, right? It's not a resume repeat.
Not a resume.
No, it very clearly goes on to say what we do, why we do it, how we do it. And you can tell that we love what we do.
And then people want to connect with you or they don't, right? Your choice. And for some of the boomers, you know, some of you might think, well, I'm no longer employed. I'm no longer working. Therefore, I don't need a LinkedIn profile. I'm not looking for work. LinkedIn is so much more than a job seeking social media site. It is a professional social media site. But for those of you who don't have your own website, it is your website. It's your brand. It's your website. You can share professional things. I would suggest it's not like Facebook or Twitter. So beware of that. But you're in charge of that and you can have some fun and really help change the world for good through that medium as well.
Right. Because it's a great way to connect with people. Right. You just can't believe it. So Martha has been fabulous in some of her comments. She also sees herself as a connector and she's connected me with somebody else today who would be great for the show. But I love her last comment. Your 5% main thing, it helps you with your butt kicker.
It's a key ingredient to the butt kicking.
I love that comment. That's great.
To talk about, I just want to show you my latest fashion accessory.
Oh, yes.
I'm really not a fashionista, but I think that this whole pandemic thing, and once we get over, I don't want to wear a mask, it's going to be a fashion accessory. So here's my latest fashion accessory right here.
Woo! I love it. Yes. Make sure you vote.
So
purple too.
Part of who I am is I am passionate about civic action and I'm passionate about voting, and I recently signed up to be a poll worker for South Carolina. So I'm going to be in the in-person voting.
Wow.
I'll be wearing probably not this mask, although I don't think this is political, but they may not like it. So I'll be masked and gloved and I'll be helping people vote. And that's part of who I am, you know.
Good for you.
So once you stop denying and compartmentalizing, this is me at work, this is me at home. You can bring that holistic. This is, hey, boomer,
you're
one single person. Embrace it. Because when you combine all those aspects of yourself, you are truly unique. There's probably not another human being that has that combination of skills, passions, strengths, ways, quirks. It's you.
It's you. Yeah. So I always ask my guests, if they could give us one or two things that they would like us to take away from our talk today. So what would be one or two things you would like to leave with us today, Kathy?
Well, the first is don't leave your personal brand to chance. Take charge of your personal brand starting today. Okay. And then the other is live up to that personal brand. Everything you do, say, run it through that filter. Does this add to my brand or distract? Is this who I am or who I'm pretending to be? How do I just fully embrace who I am and share that with the world? And that is the essence of personal branding. That's the opportunity.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Thank you. This has been, I mean, we could go on for days.
You always invite me back, but you have to let them know how they get their prizes.
Well, that's what I was just going to do. So remember what we're going to do. We're going to have an autographed book and two complimentary sessions. So let me show you what you have to do in order to qualify for this. So the first thing you have to do is you have to email me. And you email me at heyboomer0413@gmail.com. The 0413 is April 13th, our first show.
Oh, no.
I know. Include your name and phone number so that we can get in touch with you. And then answer this one question. How would you like to be known in this next phase of your life? And what might be holding you back?
Wow. Powerful. Powerful yeah. question.
So we're going to have receive your applications for this prize until Wednesday at 5. And then we will announce the winner on the Facebook page. We will also announce the winner in the next Hey Boomer broadcast. And it will give you a chance to then set up a scheduled time to meet with me and to meet with Kathy.
And I would say, Wendy, anyone who takes the time to think about that question and answer it is a winner and has won. So prize, that question is compelling, important, activating. And you all on this call, I encourage you, all you Hey Boomers, give that thought, put it in writing, do yourself a favor. You will.
Yeah. Thank you. I like that. So let me tell you about our guest next week. His name is Dr. Marcus Blackstone, and he is the Chief Clinical Director at the Bon Secours St. Francis Hospital System. Very timely, because we're going to be talking about the most current information that there is on the COVID-19. And now we're going into the fall, and it's flu season. And what do we all need to know about and beware of? So I think that's going to be a very interesting conversation and very helpful, and hopefully, you know, keep us calm.
Note to self, get flu shot.
Get flu shot, right. So lots of thanks coming in. People have loved this broadcast, Kathy, and thank you so much.
Thank you. Special thanks to Elizabeth Lyons for bringing us together. And
thanks, Elizabeth. And I always like to close the show with a reminder from C.S. Lewis. He said, "You are never too old to set another goal or dream another dream." So let's continue to meet weekly, to dream, to learn, and to share. And I am so grateful for all of you and for this new friendship that you and I have, Kathy. It just means so much to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am Wendy Green, and this has been Hey Boomer.
Hey Boomer.